Welcome to episode 103 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live from Microsoft Ignite back in September. This is a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life, where we discuss a topic or recent news related to Office 365 or Azure, and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. In this episode, Scott is hanging out with Simon Binder from the Knee Deep in Tech podcast to talk about enterprise mobility and managing user adoption when you're moving at cloud speed. Let's join their conversation.
We're back at Ignite again, and I'm here with Simon Binder from the Knee Deep in Tech podcast. He's also a principal solutions architect and plays around a bunch in the enterprise mobility and security space. I'm a bit of an identity geek. Yep. Thought we could have a fun conversation about what you're seeing going on in that space, maybe some of the announcements that have come out at Ignite, and we'll kind of riff and go from there.
Yeah, sounds great.
So I should give you the opportunity. Why don't you introduce yourself real quick, maybe let people know where they can find you, a little bit about your background, and we'll get into it.
Yeah. So my name is Simon, as you said. Together with a colleague of mine, I do a podcast called Knee Deep in Tech. Just follow the Knee Deep in Tech hashtag and you'll find us. We are focusing on really everything related to Microsoft, but my specialty is workplace. So digital workplace and everything surrounding that. We do podcasts, we do blogs quite a lot, starting with webcast, and we'll also do a couple of webinars later this year.
Oh, awesome.
So we are deep into the community part. We also do quite a lot of public speaking. So I'm traveling around Europe especially, talking about enterprise mobility, Windows as a service, and also how to really make that cultural change that they spoke about a bit yesterday during
yes.
the keynotes. So how we can adopt as an IT department, but also how we drive user adoption using the cultural change rather than forcing down technology on our users.
It's an interesting thing. So I've worked at a lot of organizations and always kind of taken that tact and had to push it. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you roll out and kind of what the technology you throw in front of people. If they're not going to use it or if they're going to be annoyed and not going to consume it in meaningful ways, then why are we doing it or what's the point of it?
Exactly.
And I used to do conferences and public speaking like you, and like to kind of poll everybody at the beginning, you know, so are you an IT pro? Are you a developer? And just to kind of throw it out there, who in here is an end user? And nobody ever raises their hands.
Nope.
Everybody should. Like, really? None of you use the things you do? And everybody kind of chuckles like, no, I really don't use it. I'm an admin on my laptop, but we don't let users do that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a very vital thing to remember. So why are we doing things? Why are we implementing any solution, really? And how does that affect our end users? Because that's vital. If we can't answer that, why are we implementing it? And if we can't get our users to actually use it, they'll find other ways around, for sure. They don't even need to be admin now on their machines. They are more than good at finding cloud solutions that they use for good and bad.
Yep. And then we get into heavier-handed solutions. We
yep.
do cloud app security or something else, but then they're coming in from an unmanaged device. And,
yep.
you know, I've been a big fan of a lot of the enhancements to the identity suite and kind of authorization and authentication through Azure Active Directory. And let's treat identity as a firewall construct.
Yeah.
And let's license people the right way. Like, yes, we have to license them. We have to pay for it. Okay, we're beyond that.
Yeah.
But once you get there, there is some nicety and some really solid things that you can do to letting users just live their lives. And organizationally, you can still manage data,
yep.
Which is really the important part most of the time. Like, you know, at the end of the day, does it really matter if somebody lost their phone? No, not so much. It really matters when they lose their email or they get
yep.
phished or they get hacked or,
exactly.
or something else that comes into play there.
Yeah. And speaking about data, that's also one of the main points I took away from the Goodyear customer scenario yesterday. The thing they said about they actually planned their implementation of Microsoft 365 for 9 months.
They planned it for a while before they did.
Yeah.
They're
then,
like the anti-customer.
Exactly. So they planned it for 9 months and then made the implementation in 3. And I think that's also a vital part to remember, especially when we talk about, like you said, identity as a firewall, protecting data and so on. If you don't have everything in place when you implement it, it's so much harder to change it on the road ahead. So where are you supposed to store your data? How are you supposed to authenticate? How can we make applications and systems available to you in a secure way? If that's not there, when you start to get your users into Azure AD, leveraging the authenticator app and so on, it's so hard to get them to change once they've found their ways around it.
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and/or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudIT.
Yeah, it's not only just the change, it's also managing kind of the fatigue of the service and the, yep. and the new features. So it's a lot easier to say, we've already rolled out MFA, and you all know what that is, and it was permanent, and it was kind of bad, but now we've made it conditional. And so now it's a little bit better. You're only going to be prompted when you're off our site or you're at home, and we can explain that behavior and it makes sense. And now it's going to get a little bit better again. Just download this app, which you probably already had, and we're going to go light up a feature for you for, you know, you can get pinged on your phone through a push notification or your watch on your wrist or whatever it is, all without having to explain to people the NIST definition of two-factor authentication and, you know, something you know, something you have, something you are, and bring it all together. Like they don't care. They just want to do their job. Give me my spreadsheet or give me my email.
Yeah, and that's also, and you empower the user to make a choice as well. Looking at my employer, they offer us the opportunity to enroll our devices, but we aren't required to. So it depends on how many MFA requests we would like to get every week. So I'm a MAM enrolled user, and I have colleagues that are fully enrolled. And it suits us good both ways around.
That's an interesting choice, kind of giving it to the users yep. and letting them decide the impact. I don't think yep. I've run into too many organizations that do that. Usually it's kind of yep. one way or the other.
Exactly, but it works out fairly well for us. So it enables us to do bring your own device if we like to, but we also can get devices from our employer. And then it's up to us to choose how we want to get managed.
So were there any exciting announcements that you kind of picked up on yesterday outside of customer scenarios yep. from a technology lens that, you know, these will be meaningful improvements? Like I'm a big fan of the passwordless sign-in. I've been
yeah,
doing that with
that's
my
awesome.
MSA account for months now, and
yep.
it works great.
Yeah, so I think that's huge. I also do a bit of work with other ways of signing in, so YubiKeys and so on. It's interesting to see that that's the route they're going. It makes total sense. It will be a feature that users will enjoy, and it will also enable us to do MFA on so many more things than we're doing today. So looking back at the like presentations for 2 years ago when we first saw Windows Hello, for example, one of the reasons why organizations were implementing Windows Hello were for the purpose of getting rid of MFA. Because if you use the old kind of MFA, it wasn't too user-friendly.
No.
And now we're getting where we can do an MFA without the user noticing it and actually enabling them to be more productive, making them implement harder passwords, and then they can really ignore them and just use their phone.
Yeah, I think if you're licensed for it and you sit down and implement it and you think a little bit about the end user experience
yeah.
and what makes sense, you might be driven in certain ways. Like I've been with organizations with legacy technology, still with mainframes, so they might not be able to do self-service password reset like SSPR and drive that through. But if you're there from a technology side and you're ready to go and you want to be an enabler, there's some really great features if you just kind of peel back the onion and go down another layer. You know, most people stop and they say, I need MFA or I need conditional MFA because I've heard about it at a conference or a talk
yep.
or, you know, some rep came and talked to them and they stop there. They don't understand that there's an extra blade in there for MFA server. And it doesn't mean always the on-prem one. And there's
yeah.
we can do fraud alerts. And, you know, if you do want to run the on-prem one, awesome. Let's do it with, you know, all the authentication, your RSA tokens. And we can still have access to things like one-time bypass and just all sorts of other tooling within
yeah.
there.
And other than that, in terms of the EMS suite, the announcement that Microsoft Intune will support Win32 app deployments moving forward.
Yeah, we were chatting about this a little bit before you hit the record button.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a strange enabler.
Yeah.
Because we've been forced into certain directions
yeah.
by not having that support today. It's kind of forced everybody into modernization. And
yeah.
it's a little bit of like, does the left hand know what the right's doing? Because now we have, you know, oh, 64-bit Office is going to be the default. By the way, no, 32-bit, we're going to enable that too. Have fun.
Exactly. So that, we'll see where that ends up. It's not available yet. It will be in a couple of months. But it will enable us to deploy legacy applications, if you like, and they are no longer required to be a single MSI file. They can be MSIs, they can be EXEs, any kind of application you want to deploy.
Can they manage, just thinking out loud, MSIX as well? So we can have new like app packaging technologies.
Yep. And MSIX has been supported for, at least in preview for a while now in Intune.
Cool.
So that's also an interesting point. So why would you, and I haven't had time to look into the actual difference of it. So if you can wrap your existing app into an MSIX, would that be the preferred route rather than compiling it in the way you're required to when you want to deploy it using the Win32 deployment type? So we'll see what that ends up in.
It'd be interesting from a scenario side to see where that falls out.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's just kind of like we were talking about earlier, enabling you to hold on to what you know.
Yeah.
So if I'm already doing packaging and traditional MSI and running it through, maybe I didn't want to go through that extra step, or just I didn't want to bother to learn because it was a new thing and it was, is it going to stick around, or can I just sit here and do what I've do what I've been doing the whole time along?
And also the new Microsoft Admin Center.
No, Microsoft 365 Admin Center.
Yeah,
the thing with the pretty interface.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's also interesting from that point of view, and also looking at what. They haven't announced it in a public way, but looking at what we see in certification now, since I'm a Microsoft Certified Trainer, we attended the MCT Day Saturday and have been under NDA until the keynote. So they are now announcing new certifications, which will be focused on Microsoft 365 and the role of an enterprise Microsoft 365 administrator. So the certification exams moving on will not be on Intune or Azure AD and so on. It will be on management of Microsoft 365 from an enterprise admin perspective.
Multi-workload and understanding where all these pieces and parts come together.
Yeah, which resonates really well with the new admin experience of the entire suite.
Yeah, Ben and I have talked about that in the past on a couple episodes where it's very hard today, or at least personally, I think it's very hard to be successful as just an Exchange admin or just a Skype admin or just a SharePoint admin. There's so much more out there. Like, you know, you don't need to be an expert in conditional access, but you have to know it's there because it's a component of limited access with SharePoint. And what does it do if I've turned it on when I eventually maybe want to go down the road of doing MAM on my phone? And what's the impact in not just the authentication experience, but the consumption and kind of my day-to-day workflow and where it falls out? And they've been revamping a bunch of the certifications. It's not just those. I know, you know, I work for a company that does a lot of training with Azure today, and we do all sorts of boot camps with customers for 533s and 535s and 746 and 737 and all those kinds of things. And now we're going to have AZ 100s and AZ 101s and probably 102s and 103s and 104s once they get to them. And
exactly.
Have them all ready to go.
Yeah, but we got a rundown on that at the MCT Day as well. And the way they are modulizing the courses will really change how we train and how we offer training.
Yes.
So, and it makes sense from, that's how we manage Azure. That's how we manage Microsoft 365 today. So it makes it a lot more relevant.
Yeah, we've been redoing a lot of our courseware and it's becoming even more modular than it was in the past, which will be a good thing. It'll give us a lot more flexibility to be able to guide students, be able to dip into certain areas that they really need to focus on. So if we don't need to talk about identity protection, but we need to talk about PIM, then let's go ahead and do that. Or if we need to talk about virtual machines in Azure and storage, but not the storage service, let's do that. And in the past, you know, it turned into, well, if I have to talk about this to have you prepared for that certification, we have to talk about everything else. And the people who were going through those and consuming them, really didn't matter how you were consuming it. If you were buying a book on Amazon, or you were going to a learning partner, or in Microsoft Virtual Academy, you just get this wealth of information coming down, and it's just too much. There's no way to take it all in.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info.
So other points, speaking about security and Intune again, they are also introducing a security baseline in Intune. So you're able to, with one click, apply kind of the same security baseline as you do with group policy for Office and Intune. And that's something that many organizations have been asking for quite a while now. It's a way to say that, yeah, we're still as secure as we were with group policy.
Yes.
We are still applying the same changes or same settings.
Still trying to kind of continue that story and fill the gap for BYOD and let's get registered devices in and fill it, which is, you know, surprisingly hard for people to wrap their heads around sometimes. You know, getting you out of those traditional on-premises constructs or again, just breaking through that kind of wall of this is the way I've done it for the last 10 years.
Exactly.
And how I know to do it. Got some new documentation for you to go read. It's a lot better these days. Like, you know, everybody always groans too. Like, we're just going to go read the doc. No. Yes, it's okay. Oh, there's a typo. Oh, cool. Let me show you how we fix that.
Exactly.
I think we just do a PR and everything's spun through very quickly now.
Yep, that's awesome.
Very cool. Anything else you can think of that you want to touch on?
Not at the top of my mind now. I'm still trying to catch up with a lot of sessions. That's the hard thing about being here. Like, yeah, I've watched the keynotes, I've watched a few sessions, but there are so many parallel sessions. So I'm just trying to catch up with all the news. I've seen a lot
There's
of
There's
going to
be
cool
a lot
things.
Of streaming later.
Yeah, definitely.
Or, you know, going through decks
I have a long flight home, so yeah, definitely. But I'm looking forward to really learning more about how you integrate when it comes to Microsoft 365, how EMS fits in with Office 365 and Windows, and how we make that experience even better for the user to get that really consolidated experience from the entire suite rather than looking at it from like three separate offerings or three separate products.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be really good. I was spending some time with the Windows Virtual Desktop team yesterday and even looking at the licensing side of things there. So if I'm already consuming, you know, Windows E3 or E5s or, you know, preferably just from having access to features, an M365, E3 or E5, my desktop licensing is included in there. And because I'm not tied to device, my license can follow me and I have, you know, multiple usage cals and, you know, multi-device and all that good stuff. It's like, well, here you can still have a virtual desktop. It's 100% remote app VDI. It's here. It's managed. It's domain joined. It's your images, all those things. Yep. So do your BYOD. Have a managed image over here. You're not getting the hit of, well, I had to buy this one perpetually and I had to license this one and it's all managed through a single plane, and you have still the compliance and reporting that bubbles up underneath it, so you can actually make sure that, yes, we're good to go. We're not just saying that we implemented it and we're secure. We're actually adhering to policy. We're getting alerts on it, and it's all being driven through in a meaningful way.
Yeah, and getting that experience out to the users and also as an admin see how well it works. I feel like that's something that some organizations that haven't been using Azure that much yet probably could see as a good way of getting a start with it and see that, yeah, this works. The users love it. So could we do the same good thing with our servers or migrating them to our platform as a service offerings or whatever? So this will be a good way to get, as I see it, more organizations to realize the value of the cloud offering, really, in general, regardless of what cloud. That's interesting. I'll look into that a bit as well, since it's always interesting when you follow different vendors and see what they introduced simultaneously during the keynotes. So as I work quite a lot with other vendors that have some things to say in that service, it will be interesting to see how we can leverage it.
It'll be fun. Yep. So you've got a lot to do on the plane.
Yep. So thank God for Wi-Fi.
All right. Well, very cool. We very much appreciate the time. Where can people find you on the internet, on Twitter, all that good stuff?
Easiest would be Twitter, so @BinderTech, or follow the hashtag KneeDeepInTech.
That's awesome. And we'll make sure we have links to that in the show notes for everybody as well.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thanks for the time.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.